Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 190. And we have two guests on the show today because this is part of our new format. Well, our format changes from episode to episode, but this is our new generalized format. And you'll hear, first of all, from Shauna. Now, Shauna is a phone guest, which means that we've just recorded my conversation with Shauna, because when you're a phone guest on the show, I have no idea what dream you're going to present. So you'll hear as Shauna presents her dream to me and we start to interpret it and go into it. And I know that you're going to get lots from that and thoroughly enjoy it. And then following Shauna's interpretation of her dream and chat about how her dream and the interpretation relates to her life and what she gets from that, we're then going to go to a segment which is going to become known as Dream Snap. Now, Dream Snap is where you send in a dream, and you'll find that you, I'll give you the details in a minute about where to go to do that. You send in a dream, and I have a look at the dream, and I give just a very quick overview of it at the end of the episode, a dream snap, a quick look. And that look is without going back to you, the dreamer, and asking any questions. Except that today I already had Vic's dream, and we had already gone through a process of asking and answering questions. So although today's is billed as the dream snap, it's actually a little bit longer and a bit more involved than a dream snap. But we're putting it in place. We've got it there. So there's plenty for you to listen to between Shauna's dream, where you'll hear Shauna and I talking, and Vic's dream, where you'll hear me reading Vic's dream and summarizing the interpretation and Vic's response to that. The website to go to is janetheresa.com. That's Theresa without an H. Now, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, either to contribute to the Dream Snap or to be a phone guest or a Skype guest, go to janetheresa.com, go to podcasts, and on the drop-down box, you'll see contribute to the show or contribute as a guest or something like that. You'll find it, I know. Also from janetheresa.com, you'll be able to find your way to our other website, which is the Dream Academy. And the website address for that is dream-academy-online.com, where we are offering courses. And the first online course is up there already, how to interpret your dreams step by step, which you go through at your own pace. It's videos and notes and all sorts of exciting things. Or find me on social media, particularly Facebook and Instagram. But let's just cut straight to the next guest and let's go to Shauna and her dream. Welcome to the Dream Show, Shauna.
Hi, Jane Theresa. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a great pleasure. How are you this beautiful, sunshiny morning?
Really good, thank you. Got some sunshine up here we're up near Noosa, so always sunny.
Always sunny in Noosa. Yeah. For those of you listening overseas, this is Shauna is about an hour's drive or 2 hours drive from Brisbane up north in
That's
one of the
right.
most beautiful areas of Australia. Yeah, and on the coast, on the beach. You know, you haven't seen sandy beaches until you've seen our Sunshine Coast. Anyway, Shauna is not looking at that today. She's looking down the telephone. And talking about your interior world,
That's
not the one
right.
outside the window.
Right.
So, as usual, I have no idea, Shauna, what dream you're going to bring. So, yeah, tell me about your dream.
All right. Okay, well, my dream starts and ends with a baby. So my husband and I had a baby and forgot about it, and we put it in a box, like a cardboard box somewhere, and carried on with our day, and then all of a sudden we remembered about it again. And when we went to check on it, the baby was fine, like smiling and happy and kicking its arms and legs up in the air. And then all of a sudden, I was back at uni studying primary teaching, and we had to go to our class for our teaching round, so we were on our prac round. I was really scared and panicky, so I signed in with my designated teacher, but then I ran away. And then someone was asking the group at the end of the rounds, I don't know where I went to, but suddenly we came to when the prac had finished, and someone was asking the group, how do we find out our prac results? And everyone sort of all groaned and said, it's on the notice board by your name as usual. And I saw from a distance that I'd gotten a D. And I didn't know why I'd gotten a D, since I hadn't turned up at all, so I thought I should have failed. And then I noticed lots of people had gotten D's, and I didn't feel so bad, but wondered if I'd ever get found out. And I just felt a bit like an imposter, like I didn't belong there in the group. Then all of a sudden we were being whisked away in a crowd of students and teachers, and I saw some teachers who seemed to be doing such a good job in the classroom. They were so in control and enthusiastic, and the kids were all attentive to them. And I just remember feeling really incompetent and inadequate. Mm-hmm. Then suddenly we were in the group again on a bus going to Indonesia. And one girl kept trying to connect with me in the group. I liked her, but we kept getting separated. And I felt, again, insignificant and not respected in the group. She was sweet, kind, friendly, but also a bit scared. Right, then we were at an Indonesian school, and my sister, Carly, was teaching so confidently in Indonesian. She was so calm, controlled and respected. And we were there to watch some excellent, expert, experienced teachers. And then all of a sudden my sister, Carly, was telling me a story about how she got upset for one day of teaching when our mum died and couldn't teach that day. But then she quickly moved on and got over it. She didn't acknowledge me as her sister and was a bit embarrassed by me, and she was far too busy to give me any of her time. All right, we're nearly at the end.
That's good, Nishona.
Okay, then all of a sudden I was being bullied in the line on the bus going home. So it was kind of like we were back being children, but I was sort of with that group of teachers again.
Yeah.
So all the kids were chanting the order that they wanted everyone to get on the bus, and I was to be last in the line. But all of a sudden I got this urge to just stand up for myself and just kind of ruin it all for them, and I ran ahead and got on the bus first and mucked up their order and annoyed everyone. And on the way, someone's apple got knocked to the ground, like, and it was a big deal. This apple was sort of bouncing around. And I'd done it. And so on the bus, it was more like a train, and it had little cubicles. And an older woman, I got into a cubicle on my own because, of course, I wasn't friends with anybody, and nobody wanted to come in with me. Then an older woman came in with me who I'd never seen before. She had grey hair, and she said, "I saw what you did and I understand why you did it." And she tried to cheer me up and said, "Soon they come around with sweets to buy. I'll get you one." And I said, "I didn't have any money and I didn't care about having a sweet. It wasn't going to cheer me up." Then in my cubicle, all of a sudden in the corner, there was a doctor and a nurse, it sounds terrible, with a dead baby on their belly. So that the nurse, it's like they were a couple, but they were nursing a dead baby on her belly. Mm. They were really sad, but being positive, saying they'll try again next time. But how it affected me is that I felt like I belonged in that world, like it felt really meaningful to me. And I felt their pain and wanted to help them. I felt I could do something that was meaningful and help adults with their loss and their babies. And it just felt to me like maybe this is something I can do in my life, and I really wanted to be of help to someone. And that was the end.
Well, that's fabulous, absolutely fabulous, Shauna. Well told. And lots of suddenlies there. And am I hearing a bit of a few tears there at the end of the dream when you told it?
No, I wasn't, no. Just it feels just very meaningful for me right now. Not sad, just meaningful.
Yes, that's wonderful. That really comes across in the tone at the end. And obviously, if you had thought that that was a literal message at the end of the dream about, you know, going out and helping people with stillbirths or loss of babies, then you wouldn't be asking about the dream. I mean, you understand it's all symbolic.
Yes, I do. Mm. Yes, definitely. Mm.
Okay, there's so much for us to get in here, and I just want to jump in all over the place. Yeah. And I love the fact that there's lots of suddenlies, because often in a dream you'll have the beginning of the dream sets the theme, and then it sets some problems and questions to answer, and we get into it, and then there's this, and suddenly this happened, and it's like a turning point in the dream, and then we go to the end of the dream, but yours has got lots of turning points, of suddenlies.
Quite a complex dream,
yeah.
And long.
I got this, and then I got this.
Yeah.
So there's kind of like we're covering a lot of ground here.
Yeah.
I'm going to jump in and just clarify some symbols.
Okay.
And, sometimes it can be quite insightful to go for the most bizarre symbols and look at those first. So the apple that got knocked down, that you had done it. what was your feeling about that apple in the dream? I mean, who was going to eat it, or who was it for, or what did you have any feelings about that apple?
I didn't really. I knew I'd knocked it out of someone's lunchbox. Mm. I don't know, except the orc that I can think of is that, you know, an apple for the teacher.
That's what I was thinking, yes.
Yeah. I didn't have any feelings about it, the apple. It's just that the kids were making quite a big deal about this apple being knocked about and that I'd done it. Yes, I was sort of guilty.
I'm so glad you did it. I love that you did that in the dream.
It's so out of character for me too. Like it was, I would never do that.
I got that, and I'm thinking, maybe you need to do more of this. We'll explore your dream and find out.
I
had the feeling. That's right. Yeah, there's the other one, upsetting the apple cart.
Yeah.
So there can be good reasons to upset the apple cart. So there were three things that jumped to mind for me with the apple. The first was because of the theme of the teaching was the apple for the teacher, and to sort of look at what that means.
Yeah.
Upsetting the apple cart, that's really good. And the other one I was just wondering, but I don't think it's relevant because you didn't mention it, was, of course, you know, I look around my office here and I can see apple everywhere. You know, I can see the Apple iMac symbol, the Apple laptop symbol, the apple on my iPhone. And with the idea with kids on a bus, you know, something precious, an apple that could be dropped, could be something worth, a communication device worth a lot of money. So I was just wondering whether that came up. But I think the apple for the teacher.
Yeah, I think
without
so.
Thinking too hard about it, why do we take an apple for the teacher?
Oh, well, I think good health, maybe. Mm. I don't know. I've never really thought about it.
Hmm. If it's not in your consciousness, then that's not part of your symbolism in the dream. I think a lot of people, it's a bit of a bribery, like, I'm a good girl, I've brought the teacher an apple.
Yeah, I think it was me upsetting the apple cart.
Great. Okay, I think that's going to be the major theme of your dream, and we're going to be looking into that. Another big symbol I just want to go to is Indonesia. What does Indonesia mean to you?
Well, my sister lives in Malaysia, and when I was doing teaching rounds, there was an option to go to Indonesia, so I think it may have just popped into my head. But what if I did do that? Maybe I would have been more suited to that culture rather than ours. I know that's, I don't really know why, because I haven't done it, but maybe it's always been in the back of my mind that if I did try that. But then, so it's just that, my sister lives there, so that's the association. Indonesia, but Malaysia.
Asia in general.
Yeah.
So what do you feel, and it doesn't have to be rational, Shauna, at all, because we're talking about dreams, but what's your first gut thought for why teaching might have been something more in line with the, or that you felt that you might have been more successful if you'd been teaching in an Indonesian school or an Asian school?
I think because maybe, from what my sister tells me, the kids are much better behaved and more attentive. And she hasn't found a difficult time of it, whereas I did on my teaching rounds. I had a lot of really, really sort of naughty children, I suppose. Like, I really had a lot of trouble controlling them and felt quite, like, scared as a 20-year-old out there and thinking I couldn't do it. But she, as an adult, she's gone in and done it and become really successful, but said the kids are just so well-behaved. So maybe that's just where that came from.
It all fits in beautifully, you know, and I think for any 20-year-olds out on teacher training, I know I went that route for a couple of years and I found it extremely frightening. In fact, I think I was less than 20.
Yes, I was and, 18, yes, when I started.
Yes, and as an adult, you, as a real adult, you look back and think, well, how could I have done
that? How could I? I know. How could anyone do it at 18?
That's right. So we've already got a bit of a dynamic going here between being well behaved, as in the Indonesian children are well behaved, and the naughty children in the school that you went to, and this concept of the apple for the teacher and upsetting the apple cart. So one of many things that we might be looking at in your dream, Shauna, is where do I, at the time of the dream, which was, when did you have the dream?
I had the dream, it was only a few nights ago, April the 9th.
Okay, so the dream will be referring to what was going on for you in, unconsciously and unconsciously in the day or two before.
Yeah.
So at that time, looking at this issue of where along the spectrum do I want to be between everything being nice and controlled and respected and attentive and easy, and on the other end, naughty and upsetting the apple cart, and because there are good and bad at either end.
Yeah.
And you're looking, you know, in an ideal world, we would be in the middle. Yeah. We would be... have everything sort of nicely in balance. So this is what one of the main things that your dream is exploring, which is why I loved it when you sort of decided to jump on the bus and ruin all of them and change their order.
Yes.
So the feeling in the dream is that you want to have some kind of, or you were struggling in the day or two before with looking for a sense of order and control, and there's that kind of in the feeling of, oh, what if I was teaching in Indonesia, I would have been easily able to do whatever it was. And the dream isn't about teaching, it's just using that as a metaphor.
Yeah.
But there's a sense in the dream of messing all that up, and how would that go if I messed that up, you know?
Right.
So let's start at the beginning of the dream.
Okay.
Yeah, so you've got a baby, And then you immediately forgot about it. Any idea whether it was a male or a female baby?
Male. I have two sons. I have no idea about female babies.
Female babies.
Definitely male.
So because you have two sons, it may have just been generic baby rather than
it may
male.
Have, but I know it was male.
Roughly, how old got that response?
Maybe about 3 months.
3 months. Okay, so that may or may not represent something that has been in your life for about 3 months. So if you think back 3 months ago, and we're recording this in the middle of April, so March, April, about the middle of January, maybe the time when something new came into your life, which is seen as the three-month-old baby in the dream, which you have since maybe forgotten about. So maybe have a little think just put it at the back of your mind. There's something that you kind of thought, oh, this is good, put it in the box, forgotten about it.
Yeah, okay.
However, when you look at it, it's fine, happy and kicking. So, you know, dreams are here to remind us that they're symbolic, not real. And so whatever it was, that new idea or the thing that came into your life about 3 months ago, is now, even though you had sort of put it to one side or almost forgotten about it, has not suffered from being forgotten about. It's actually doing quite well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So then, knowing that, there's our first point in the dream, which is suddenly I'm back at uni. So it's like, okay, for whatever reason, consciously or unconsciously, I'm ready to deal with this new thing now. Mm. But it's going to bring up all my fears, the same kind of fears that I had when I was back at uni teaching.
Yeah.
Particularly the prac rounds. That's when you move from the academic or the thinking or the learning to the actually, oh, look, I'm doing it.
Yeah, like the real life stuff.
With real life, in real life. So straight away we know that this thing which you've been thinking about doing and which you're maybe ready to do is your dream is bringing up, yes, but we feel panicky about that, don't we, Shauna?
Mm.
Consciously or unconsciously, we feel panicky about that. So let's explore that in the dream.
Yes.
And straight away the dream offers you, I quite like it actually, like you didn't get an a B or a C, which would have been quite nice.
Yeah.
But the fact that you realised you'd actually got away with something.
That's right. I thought, how did I even get anything?
That's right. And so no one else in the class got an A, a B or C. Everybody got
a D. Got a D, so it didn't matter. It's like I didn't even get away with it. No one even noticed. Yeah.
That's right. So D for didn't matter, maybe. For didn't matter.
Didn't matter, yeah.
And the imposter, you know, then brings up that that sort of modern day question that a lot of people talk about, the imposter syndrome, which is where you think, oh, I can't be good enough to be doing this. Everybody else must know what they're doing. But me, no, I'm just an imposter.
Yeah.
That imposter syndrome thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, you can relate to that.
Yeah. Well, I can just tell you what's happening in my life, if that.
Yeah, that would be great. Well, we've got a long way to go.
Yeah,
but
I know.
Would be fantastic.
But this might sort of help you along the way a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm studying to be a life coach. So I've taken a huge career change, I guess, and direction in my life and have totally gone, you know, to the left of all that my teachings taught me.
Good.
And that everyone has expected of me, I guess, in my family. So I'm doing what I'm really interested in and studying all sorts of things that I've always been interested in but too scared to try or feeling like I couldn't, you know, it wasn't the right time or, you know, all sorts of things. And feeling like, well, I didn't really go on with the teaching, but I always felt that I had something to give with teaching, but it just primary teaching in a big noisy classroom wasn't, you know, suited to my temperament and everything. So I felt this sense of failure. I always have this sense of failure that I just couldn't do it. So that's where I'm at now, in that I still have that uncertainty and feeling a bit like an imposter because I just haven't quite set up my little business yet, which is my baby.
Yes, exactly. Oh, thank you for that. That makes perfect sense. Mm. And that sounds absolutely wonderful to be doing something that's more in alignment with your heart and gives you the feeling that you'll be able to give, which was something that you couldn't access or do in teaching, which is fantastic. Yeah. So did that baby, can you relate to the baby being 3 months old and to this kind of somehow initiating 3 months ago?
It's probably been more like 3 years.
Okay.
Well, I've been studying for probably 6 months, so maybe the baby was more like 6 months in my dream. Yeah, it could have been that. I don't know if anything happened really in January. I was still in a fairly similar state of mind as I was when I started the course. Maybe because I finished all the prac work, maybe that's what it was. I finished all the prac then, and it was starting to get real, and it was like, okay, now I need to get onto the marketing and get it all up and going. And I started to feel that uncertainty and doubt creeping in.
Exactly. That makes perfect sense. So the baby bit 3 months ago was when you finished the prac work, which is why the dream then goes into the prac results. I'm getting a D. Am I going to get a D? So the prac's finished, and I suspect the marketing was what made you put the baby in the box. Oh, I'm in marketing. Oh, right, I put that to one side.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So it's, you know, the dream is then moving into, I guess, those areas of marketing, which is scary for everybody until you get over the hurdle, and obviously brings up that imposter thing. No matter how well experienced you are for doing what you want to do, until you actually start to do it, you can feel like an imposter because you're saying, I am a life coach, I am a doctor, whatever you are, but I haven't actually started yet.
That's
so there's that too. I haven't proven myself. I feel like an imposter.
Yeah, like I'm not experienced enough yet to
That's right, yet.
Considered that. Or, yeah.
Although you will actually be bringing in all your wisdom, so you have all your experience there already, but that's another talk.
So
there's a sense in the dream where your unconscious mind is going, it's okay, you've got away with this, everybody's got D's, nobody's noticed yet. So there's a part of you that kind of fits with what you said about working left of what your family expectations are. And left of all the teaching, academic work and experience you've had, this is coming at quite a different and intuitive maybe angle. So it's not something that can be graded by rational exam results, your unconscious mind is suggesting, and I think that's a good suggestion.
Yeah.
So then we go from there to the next, suddenly, the next turn in the dream is being whisked away.
With
the teachers in control and enthusiastic.
Just the ones around you seem to be so confident.
So, you know, you can look at a dream as everyone and everything in a dream represents something about you. So on that level, we can say there's plenty of parts of you that do actually feel very confident and very competent and very adequate and more than adequate. But the person that you see as you in the dream that you're exploring is the one that doesn't feel any of those things.
Yeah, who'd like to feel the confident one. Yeah.
That's right, who'd like to, you know. And you know, you mentioned earlier, Shauna, feeling uncertain about it all. And I think, you know, working in life coaching is probably has some similarities and overlaps with working with dreams. You know, I come to talk with you or anyone else that brings a dream. And I bring all my knowledge and my prior experience and all of that. But I have no idea what dream you're going to give me. I'm uncertain about that and where it's going to go. And you'll have the same thing with the people that you're coaching, presumably.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it is a bit just unknown. Every person that you see, everything is different. There's no control about it whatsoever.
That's right. There's no control about it whatsoever. It's not like an accountant being given a list of figures and there's only one way to add them up and only one result to get unless you're a creative accountant. So what you really know is that you have chosen and are consciously chosen and are entering a field where the way to be successful is to acknowledge that there is no control. And if anything, you're going to be upsetting quite a few people's apple carts, or you're going to be getting them to upset their own apple carts.
Yes, because, my family, well, a few of my mum and dad were teachers, and now my sister's been a teacher, and another sister works at a uni, which, just all quite, not that they're particularly controlled, but they're, gone down that sort of path of education, that traditional path is what I mean. And now I'm going to the non-traditional path.
Yes, wonderful, fantastic, brilliant.
Yeah.
But I also meant that you would be with your people that are coming to you for coaching, you are likely to be getting them to upset their apple carts as well.
Yes, true.
To make changes.
Which
is good.
That's right, yes. Which I've never really done before, you know, basically being a good girl and following all the rules, usually, in my life. I'm not a rule breaker.
No, you bring the apple for the teacher, and yet you're going to be a successful life coach, you're going to be really holding the hands and inspiring and assisting people to make huge changes in their lives, presumably.
Absolutely. That's the idea.
Yeah. So that's to some extent why you feel the imposter. It's like, well, I haven't done this, and that's why in the dream you do upset the apple cart. Then you're on the bus to Indonesia, and it only occurred to me when you said life coaching, I thought, oh, what's the difference between a bus and a coach? They can be, bus can be a coach as well, you know, maybe there's something in there.
Yeah, maybe with the coach, yes. Yeah, because it was bigger than a bus. Like, as I said, I think it was more like a train, because it had that cubicle, but maybe it was coach.
Well, trains have coaches.
Coach. Oh, yes. Maybe that's what it is, yeah.
Maybe that's why it was a bus and a train, so that one of us would go, well, one of the things that a bus and train has in common is they have coaches.
Coaches, yes.
That coaching idea, may have then brought up Indonesia, like, oh, I could easily be a life coach in Indonesia because everyone would be really good and just do what I told them to do.
That's right.
Which would be of no benefit to them whatsoever because they've got to be proactive.
Very easy, yes.
However, on that bus, Shauna, there was the one girl that you were trying to connect with. Any idea how old she was, your gut thought for that?
I think she was about 30. I'm not sure. Like, she wasn't young, like 18. Mm. She was a little bit more experienced like me, and she was a little bit on the outer as well, but she was still trying to fit in.
Okay.
But she saw I wasn't fitting, so she was sort of like trying to connect with me and go, come over here. But then she was also going, but hang on, I'm not sure if I want to be over there either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she's a beautiful aspect of yourself that is feeling all that pain at the moment, and do I, don't I, where do I want to go?
Yeah.
Any immediate association with what you were doing when you were 30?
Just about thinking about having a baby.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm. So there may be something in that there, you know, the giving up of teaching to have a baby, was it?
Sort of. I became a librarian, so I did teaching for 1 year. When actually, I was about 30. I decided to go into a school library and then realised it wasn't for me. And I was having health issues surrounding fertility. So I stopped that at 30 and decided to just concentrate on my health and just started working casual shifts in the library again. So that's what was happening at 30.
Mm. Right, okay, that makes a lot of sense then. So there's a part of yourself that still feels that at some level of wanting to make decisions for yourself and your health and for what you want to do. And that question, as you said, you know, the in real life question of fertility, which you obviously overcome because you said you've got two sons, may translate metaphorically at the moment. How fertile am I going to be in the business that I'm moving into? How do I feel about that? I want to connect with some of that, and I do when I don't. There's that feeling in the gym. I want to connect with her. She doesn't want to connect with me. She does. She doesn't.
Yeah.
You know, spend some time after our chat, Shauna, thinking, what can you learn? Because you saw her as quite experienced. What can you learn from her? What would you like to connect back to that gave you confidence when you were 30? Mm. And what can you connect back to and see with the hindsight of extra wisdom now? Because there's that little conflict going on within you still with the part of yourself that's still 30. You know, we've still got all parts of ourselves that we dropped at certain ages, and she's still floating about in there somewhere with gifts to give you and gifts that you can give her.
Like, just life was full of possibilities, lots of endless possibilities then.
Fantastic. So in the dream then, you're trying to connect with life as full of endless possibilities, but she's shying away and wants to connect and doesn't want to connect and wants to connect and doesn't want to connect. So at the time of this dream, you had this shall I, shan't I, is life full of exciting possibilities or not? Is it, isn't it, is it, isn't it, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, so one possible dream alchemy there would be to revisit that part of the dream and really connect with her.
Right, okay,
Because, you know, for life to be full of possibilities, you don't necessarily have to know what the steps that you're going to take to make those possibilities happen. It's more, that embraces more the uncertainty again. Life's full of possibilities. It's not a controlled thing.
Yeah.
You know, going out into my new role as a life coach is full of possibilities. It's not something that, you know, I will take steps and I'll choose what they'll be to market it and get it happening, but I don't need to control exactly how it's going to happen. Or it's, you know, it's good to go into it with a feeling of life is full of possibilities.
Yes, and she wasn't at all jaded, this woman, whereas I was. I'm terrible, but I was full of negativity about teaching, whereas she had a really open mind. That's what I can remember about her character.
Beautiful. So that part of yourself does exist, and that's the wonderful thing to know, that deep down inside there's that open-minded not at all jaded aspect that you're trying to connect with. It's not something that you've got that doesn't exist within you.
Yeah.
It's something that is actually there, and it's maybe been left to the wayside because, as you said, you've been a good girl and fulfilled the family expectations and done the teaching thing and never upset the apple cart. So that, you know, hers is the energy that you want to reconnect with, which is why then you go and visit your sister in Indonesia and you go through all of that. Yes, we've got that. That's the family side of things.
Yeah.
Maybe I would have been more suited to being in a sort of more controlled situation, but actually I don't want that.
Yeah.
So we're then in the bullying theme, and we haven't got too much time to explore that bullying, but just as a quick question, did you experience any bullying when you were younger or not?
Look, not much, but I was a fairly quiet child, so I was often on the outer, maybe just once or twice. I was talking with another mum who had just told me about her son being bullied on the bus, so I think that might be how that popped in there. But there was also aspects of me just not feeling like I quite fitted in really. I was always a little bit on the outer, but fairly quiet, so, you know, happy enough, but just that I felt a little bit different.
Mm. So hopefully you felt, although it was painful for you when you were younger to feel different, hopefully that point of difference is going to play its role now, where you walking into a job or a chosen career where it's the point of difference that will make the difference. And having talked to the woman the day before about her son being bullied, you know, bullying is a whole area of control, isn't it? What to do as a good child? Does a good child be bullied? Does a good child tell their mum and dad? Does a good child fight back? All those horrible, extremely difficult questions.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're looking within your own life, it's what you do in the dream is you stand up. You don't say that you stand up for the bully, but the very next thing that you do is get on the bus and ruin it for everyone.
Yes.
So in a sense, you're kind of, you know, like you said, the bullies were trying to order everyone.
Yes.
And you said, I've had enough of this. So you were standing up. So there could be in your unconscious could be exploring there, Shauna, when I'm a life coach, one of the things that I want to do is not be on the outer, to bring my differences from having experienced being on the outer and being a different person, but to actually stand up and not be so quiet, to speak out, particularly for feelings of being bullied or people being over-controlled and wanting to ruin the control and shake things up a bit for everybody, because that's how you get people to evolve and change.
Yes, yeah, that's true. Yeah, I'd like to not be so quiet. Yeah, like to make a difference.
And you can, because you know those aspects of yourself do exist. We've seen them in your dream.
Yeah.
The non-jaded girl that's open to all sorts of wonderful positive possibilities, and the part of yourself that was your age in the dream that would get up and upset and ruin it for everybody. In other words, just ruin the sense of order. Yeah, but actually make it better for everyone, because the bullies would have not been able to reign supreme under that condition.
Yes.
Makes sense. So then the last piece sees you on the that's when you said a bus like a train and cubicles, and those cubicles. Yeah, cubicles like coaches maybe, but cubicles. So then with that sense of you were on your own in the cubicle because you didn't have a friend or you didn't know anyone, so it's that sense of isolation.
No one likes me because I upset everybody, yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, you're on your own there, Shauna.
That's right. I did it to myself.
As a life coach, as a mum, you would be very well experienced as a mum in knowing that sometimes taking the right move isn't the move that's going to get you the best liked.
Yeah, that's
but
right.
But it's better for everyone. Yeah. And, you know, I imagine in working as a life coach, your people will absolutely adore you and love you to bits. But there will be times when you push them out of their comfort zones where that will not be how they feel at all.
Yeah, true.
So the older woman comes in, and it's everyone in a dream represents something about you. She is some aspect of your older, wiser
that's
self.
A weird one.
Even though you didn't actually like what she said, did you?
I didn't really, did I? Well,
no.
It was kind of calming, but it wasn't what I needed to know or hear.
calming, but not what I needed to know or hear.
Like it wasn't going to help me.
No, that's right. Yeah. So she was offering you sweets, and often to offer someone something sweet and nice is not actually very helpful to them.
Ah, right. Yes.
So to imagine being a perfect mum in terms of a mum that the kids really love you all the time, or like you, no, they, of course they love you all the time, the kids like you all the time,
yeah.
Or the life coach where your clients like you all the time, or Shauna, who likes Shauna all the time, those things are too sweet, they don't really work. Being sweet is not the way to go. Making everything into sweet little parcels of sweet and light isn't helpful to anybody.
Yeah.
It's got to go deeper than that.
Yes. Yes, because in life coaching you need to confront, people a lot. And, I guess I'm not a very confrontational person, so maybe that's the part that I'm most anxious about. Mm.
Yeah. So it's what comes to mind for me, Sean, is how can you help the person to confront whatever it is they need to confront without you confronting them?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think just through questioning. Rather than me suggesting something, it's more bringing it out of them, or, helping them to come to their own conclusions.
Yes, that's right, because you said I'm not a confrontational person, so you don't need to be confrontational. You need to help that person by asking the questions, like you've just suggested, to confront themselves and provide that safe, supporting environment for them to do that.
Yeah. That's right.
Which is why at the end you see the doctor and nurse and the dead baby. Like that's where I can be of help, I guess the doctor and nurse is healing, really, isn't it? And health.
Yes. That's right.
Did you have any negative feelings about the doctor and nurse?
No. It was just for me. It was kind of like all of that teaching side of things. It just didn't mean anything anymore. And suddenly he was life and death over here and healing to be had.
Yes.
And that's what felt like where I was headed and how I could be helpful and needed.
Absolutely. So in many ways your dream worked through a lot of stuff and came up with that solution, which is to kind of bear in mind as you do your marketing, the hard bit, and the working with people, the easier bit than marketing.
Yeah.
is that helping people through life and death situations and facing pain. But at the same time, because it brought back the symbol from the beginning of the dream, you had the baby, the live and kicking baby at the beginning of the dream and the dead baby at the end. Mm. There's that feeling there of, what is it? There's something there. Mm-hmm. The dead baby was seen to be dead, but was almost a positive symbol in the dream because it was, this is what I want to be able to work with to help people here with their pain. It's sort of moving it from something that's all fun and light and easy to something that's really serious. We actually lost you there for a moment on your phone line, Shauna, and now we've reconnected and we lost you at the point where we were talking about the dead baby. So we kind of, you came back on and said the battery on my phone is going, and we thought, that's interesting. It's like the battery's going dead here on our communication device. So there could be something for you to think about there on communication and being open to communication and all of these things sort of playing into you at the moment. Go, do I want this? Don't I want it? I don't know. How much life do I want to give to this? So because your battery may be going dead, we're going to wrap this pretty quickly. And the bottom line here is that you found your joy at the end of the dream. It's not in being sweet and wonderful and keeping control. Yeah. It's actually in contributing meaningfully, and you have a wonderful gift for this. And helping people through their pain and helping them to try again and find new and positive ways, which is actually what you're doing. You've got through the pain of teaching and questioning and am I good enough and am I an imposter and oh my God, I've got to do that awful marketing thing. And now it's moving more into this sort of more positive realm. I'd love any last thoughts from you before we do some dream alchemy, before your battery goes flat.
Well, it all is making a lot more sense because I think originally I was quite disturbed about the dead baby. But now I'm not fearing that at all. In fact, I think that's a good thing. It's a positive thing, and that I may be able to help people bring out the hope. So it's making me feel quite good about the dream now, rather than... I have a lot of these dreams where I'm not quite good enough.
Yes.
So there's a sense of, my self-worth and self-confidence, you know, not being able to prove myself.
Yes.
And I've been having them ever since I started this course, or ever since I finished my last job, actually, in the school, and I decided I was never going back to schools, and that was it.
Yes.
So this was a really big dream for me a few days ago that seems to have sort of clinched it for me and given me that little bit of extra confidence that I'm needing.
Good, that's really great. And that's the thing, it's that the underlying anxiety which we've explored and, you know, and found some context through your history of times when you wanted to keep control and why, of letting that go, identifying the parts within yourself that have the energy and are ready to go, and seeing that dead baby also is not only the pain that you can help people through and the life you can give them, but also as your own unconscious tendency to cut off. I'll just kill off that baby now, thank you, because I'm not going down that road. Stay with it, because there's, you know, there's more life in this for you. So for dream alchemy, I'd suggest that you visualize in your mind's eye, imagine going back into the dream, meeting that 30-year-old girl on the bus and reconnecting with her, actually holding her hands, looking her in the eyes, because you can do that, because she's a part of yourself, so you're allowed to do that. And just look her in the eyes and see what positive energy she gives you, and you, as an older person, give her some gifts of wisdom as well, and see what comes from that. So what you're really doing is energizing that part of yourself that would really like to connect more so that you can give these gifts to the world.
Yeah. And it was sort of the time that was before children for me.
Yes,
I sort of, that was 15 years ago. so it's now another time for me to move on to a different part of my life kind of thing.
Absolutely, yes. So before your battery goes, I'm going to thank you for being a fantastic guest on The Dream Show.
Thank you,
and for helping everybody else that's listening with their own lives as well.
Yeah, I hope I've been of some help.
You have indeed.
Yeah, thanks, Jane Teresa.
I'm sure many of you out there resonated to many aspects of Shauna's story and her dream. And, yeah, she's going to do absolutely wonderful things in the world. I just know it. Now, we're starting a new segment. At the end of each dream show, we're going to do what is called a dream snap. Having said that, we're not quite going to do it today, so I better explain myself. On the Dream Show, as well as having live guests by phone, which is what we've just done with Shauna, we're also introducing a segment where you can send in your dream, and you do this at janetheresa.com. Go to podcasts and you'll find contribute a dream or something like that, and the details are there. And you fill in a form and you either put your dream in there or you record yourself on an MP3 with your dream. And it's going to be a dream snap, because we're just going to feature a short dream and my quick response to it. So just a bit of an overview, giving you a few pointers, nothing anywhere near as in-depth as we normally do with a phone guest, or nothing anywhere near as in-depth as we used to do with some of the longer email guests. So if you'd like to do that, go to janetheresa.com, go to podcast, go to the drop-down box, go to contribute to the Dream Show, and you can either put your name down there to be a phone guest like Shauna was, or to contribute a dream for a dream snap. Now, that said, we had two email guests that I had been working with to bring you their dreams for the Dream Show, but I decided on the way to the Dream Snap that I would produce these in a shorter version. So the one that I'm going to do with you today and the one that we'll do next episode is not as short as a dream snap will normally be, but is not as long as the old email ones used to be. So what I need to explain before we look at Vic's dream here is that when I got Vic's dream, we had an email conversation. I was able to ask Vic some extra questions about her dream and bring those into my dream analysis. And that will not be happening in the dream snap. The dream snap will just be my thoughts and feelings, having a quick look at your dream without asking you any questions. So when we look at Vic's dream, rather than go through the long conversations we had, you'll hear that I've incorporated what I've learned from Vic about the dream into the interpretation. So I hope that becomes clear as we go. Vic contacted me and said, "I am 32 years old. I've lived with schizoaffective disorder since I was an adolescent. I have a college degree in religious studies from a public university, and I am also an author, musician, and inventor. And I'm a trans minority." Vic's dream. In the first stage, I am on the road with my parents to a campground. The next stage, I tell them I want to go up a rocky hill to be independent of them and explore my sexuality. I then walk with my old childhood friend Hector to my left and Aja, my recent lesbian friend, to my right. These were my best friends through life. It's the best I could find. As I am with them, I start to miss my parents. So I walk fast back downhill. But a black storm cloud is approaching their campground, and I try to get there, but they take off for safety in their compact car, and I am in a bus with Aja, and me in it at the back of the bus. I notice that the bus and my parents' car pass each other by on the road, and I no longer see them, and they are gone from my life. And Vic added other information. And I asked Vic some questions about the dream, and particularly about the personal associations with people in the dream, the type of car, and other details. And I've then incorporated these associations in the interpretation. So this is what I sent Vic, interpretation. It's interesting that your first words are "in the first stage," and then the next sentence you refer to the next stage. When you sent in your dream, you added some details about yourself, and the key thing that's happening in your life at the moment is that you're transitioning from female to male, a process you could describe as going through stages. You think of a campground as familiarity with your past, and note that Hector used to come along on family camps sometimes. You also see a campground as representing your immediate family. Camping is also a temporary arrangement compared to being in a house, so this may also symbolise your transitioning through temporary stages. In some circumstances, camp can also mean gay. So the dream begins referring perhaps to the first stage of your transition, a sense of wanting to maintain familiarity with your past while undergoing the transition journey. You then embark on the next stage, up the rocky hill, to be independent and to explore your sexuality. It's here that things get rocky. Your quest for independence, and the dream reveals your inner conflict between wanting independence and wanting support. Wanting independence, yet finding yourself in the dream in the back of a bus, a symbol you associate with not being independent enough and needing someone else's service. It's as if you can't really envisage yourself as achieving independence, or as if you mistake independence for meaning lack of support, or not being able to avail yourself of services that can support you on your journey toward achieving the life you want to achieve. There's a difference between being dependent on a personal service and being an independent person choosing to enjoy the healing support of family, friends, community, or services. When you resolve this within yourself, when you make this shift in perspective, I believe you'll feel more positive about the future. In the dream, the rocky hill represents your quest for independence. And it's an interesting symbol because in life, you have immersed yourself in rock music and you're a rock musician. In some ways, rock has been your exploration space. It's also an interesting symbol because it suggests rocky emotions, and you do say that your immediate family were a bit rocky when you talked to them about transitioning. There's that conflict again. How to be independent without losing the support of your family. You're feeling rocky about that, and the solution is a shift in perspective, as I've already described. You go up the rocky hill with Hector and Aja. Hector represents your past, and he is the aspect of you that feels sad. Some part of yourself that remembers good days in the past, or the sense of familiarity and support of family and friends in the past, feels saddened by the transition journey. This is entirely natural and needs to be embraced and felt in order to move forward. Any change involves grieving the past, honouring it, before moving forward to the future. Allow yourself that grieving. Aja represents your, as you say, starry-eyed, optimistic, I'm okay aspect. Yet the dream shows you feel far from okay, that you're in conflict about what it means to be independent, and that you feel as sad on one level as you feel excited on another. It will be healing for you to step away from telling everyone that you're 100% okay and to step toward telling people that you're excited about the transition and looking forward to the future you've chosen, but that the process is a deeply emotional one that involves grieving for what you're letting go. The more people can understand this, the more they can support you as an independent person. It's as if you realise this in the dream because it's the act of going into the rocky emotions up the hill that leads you to realise how much you will miss the familiarity of your past, represented by your parents. And that's when you see the black cloud, the feeling of an imminent emotional storm. You realise that you're leaving a generic fitting look that feels safe. That's how you described a compact car, a generic fitting look that feels safe, for the series of transitional stages you've chosen to fully become Vic. In the dream, the bus and the car pass each other, and you feel something has now gone from your life. That something may be the generic fitting look that feels safe. It may be familiarity with the past. It may be a sense of losing support, not from your parents themselves, but from the parenting aspects of your inner world. In the dream, you are in a bus that you see as not homey, with Aja, who you also see as not homey. So there's also a sense here of feeling that homey is gone from your life. The choices, however, are always yours. In waking life, you can enlist your parents' support while maintaining your independence, and you can take the more healing steps of confiding your feelings, including your necessary grieving for the past, with people, friends, family, community, support groups, rather than assuring everyone that you're okay. Find ways to embrace independence without losing human connection, love, and support. And above all, give yourself these things too. Be nurtured by your inner parents. Embrace your inner past self as you transition and discover from her, as you grieve, Victoria's gifts that you'd like to take forward as Vic. And Vic sent a reply. The interpretation motivated Vic to take some independent steps that led to Vic's happiness, rather than asking people what they think or trying to please people. Vic added, "I'm going to listen to what sounds right for me. And as far as my transition is concerned, I'm going to change my name soon, so that should settle some ambivalent feelings I have toward my change." It's not always easy, it never is, but the change should be welcomed with positivity. Thanks for your encouraging words. I will go back to it when I need a clear reminder. So, Thank you, Vic, for sending in that dream and for working to and fro with me. And I hope that you appreciated the way that we telescoped that down a little bit, as we are also transitioning from doing the longer email guest dreams into the shorter dream snaps. And I hope that everyone listening, thank you for listening to yet another episode of The Dream Show, have been inspired, and I know that you will have been, by both Sean and Vic's stories. If you haven't been to the website, janetheresa.com, that's Teresa without an H, you can get from janetheresa.com to our other website, our other new website, the Dream Academy, where you can also do online courses, beginning with the first one we've got up there, how to interpret your dreams step by step. So do have a look at that too, or find me on Facebook. Now, our next episode, episode 191, shuffling bits of paper here, is due out on the 26th of May 2017. Have a wonderful month before I speak to you again, and remember that you can listen to all episodes of The Dream Show, all 190 episodes, at janetheresa.com, and you can always listen to the last 10 on iTunes. Thank you for listening. I'll speak to you next month. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.